This morning, as we look back into Philippians, of course, it is the epistle of joy, and it's one of the most joyful letters that Paul the Apostle has ever written. Remember that it was written from prison in Rome, but let's begin this morning as we look at our citizenship. As beginning, let's go back, quick review before we get to verse 27. Look at verse 12 with me. Paul writes, remember, and he says, I want you to know. In other words, he wanted everyone, all the church at Philippi, and anyone else, not to be misinformed. He says, I want you to know, brethren, and he tells us what, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul is writing, he's in chains and he's in prison. He's tied up to a chain to a guard, as we learned a couple of weeks ago or last week. Remember, the word furtherance is a great word in the Greek. It's a dynamic picture of a group, an army, if you will, going ahead of another army, and they're going through an area. They're actually like pioneer woodcutters, and they are literally clearing a perfect path all the way down the road for the others so that they can advance without any obstacles in their way to take them to a place that they have never been before. And that's what Paul is saying to the church and to us. He says, listen, my imprisonment, my chains are in Christ, man. They're not in Rome. And he says, my imprisonment is actually advancing the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. The palace guard, remember, they're getting saved. Even Nero's household, many are getting saved there. So he says, my chains have put us and taken me into territory that I never thought that I could ever go. Now, with all that being said, whether it was last Sunday, I can't remember, or the Sunday before, I said this. I said, Calvary Chapel, our chains are not in this pandemic. We're not chained to it. We're going through it, and we're going to come out victorious. Amen? Listen, we're not chained to self. We're not chained to fear. We, as Paul, we need to say, like in chapter 1, Christ is our life. 121, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen? Christ must be our life if we're going to live through this world and live in this world. So we're looking at all that we're experiencing, like Paul was experiencing, just a few years from Paul's imprisonment, by the way, when he was released. 4 years later, or maybe 3 years later, you know what happened. Nero went crazy. He was crucifying Christians, killing Christians. Rome was burning. Well, we're living in a time right now where many things are being burned. Many things are being removed. Names are being changed. Do you understand? We're in the midst of a council culture, and we're in the midst of a horrific pandemic that is costing many, many lives. And we need to look at the time that we're living in right now. God is not surprised by it. We need to look at it as an opportunity from our God. Amen? An opportunity, whatever is needed to not only push through, but Lord, to win the lost. I believe that verses 27 through 30, if there's a need or a today word for us, for the church corporate, for the church in the world, it's those verses, loved one. I don't know what's actually occurring right now, and I know what I'm about to say before we go into verse 27 is going to sound perhaps a bit strange. And you may be thinking, once I say what I'm going to say, that Bill, the cheese has really slid off the cracker. And that's okay, because it probably has, all right? But here's the thing. I don't know how to explain what I'm about to tell you. I can only share my emotional feelings about it. But I believe something happened this week. I believe there was a spiritual shift in the heavenlies. And I don't know what that means, but I know that I feel it. Does that make sense? I know we're not ruled by what we see or what we feel, the emotional makeup. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. But there's been some sort of spiritual shift. And it seems that there is a darker darkness that is approaching. And that's why these verses are so important. And it's interesting that there is an urgency in Paul's voice. an urgency as we begin in verse 27. Paul says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That word conduct, we get our word politics or political, if you will, from that Greek word. What's interesting in the urgency of Paul's voice is this. Now we have just arrived at the very first command, an imperative in the Greek, a command from our Lord. He says, listen, your conduct, let your conduct, your attitude, your that word actually means, loved one, it means let your citizenship, okay? It means let your citizenship be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. What a word and what a command. You see, the word conduct literally means this. Christians, behave yourselves as Christians. You live in this world, you live in this world as a citizen of another world. Isn't that amazing? That's what Paul is saying. And it's interesting that he said that to the people of Philippi, the church at Philippi, because you know that Philippi was a Roman colony. Man, that was a privileged status to be a Roman citizen. Amen? And they also knew if you were a Roman citizen, you had certain rights, but you also had certain responsibilities that they had to live up to. Now, with all that being said, that is why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, used that word conduct or let your citizenship. In other words, we are to live in this world as citizens of heaven. But listen to me now. But we are to live in this world not only as citizens of heaven, but with all the benefits that come with that citizenship. Does that make sense? In other words, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God who has pronounced each believer, each citizen of heaven, blessed. Amen? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have everything that we're ever going to need because we have been blessed by God with every blessing that there is. Does that make sense? That is our benefit, loved one. We've overcome this world. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord? Amen? We are more than conquerors right this minute, whether you believe it or even feel it. Do you understand? That is your right. That is your privilege. You're a citizen of heaven, and your names are recorded right there for you. Amen. And I look and I say, dear God, oh, how powerful is just that one simple verse. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, Paul says again, for our citizenship, our conduct, that comes right back to verse 27 here, our citizenship is in heaven, not here. In heaven, from which we eagerly wait. In the Greek, it could be translated, we are eagerly standing on tiptoe. What are we eagerly waiting for? The Great Tribulation? The Antichrist? The new president? I don't know where that came from. I don't take sides. Privately, I do. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we are citizens of heaven, and we are waiting for our King to come and take us to where we belong. Do you understand? That means it can happen today. That's the catching away of the church, loved one. So let your conduct, your citizenship, you're a citizen of heaven. You're a child of the living God. He says, only let your conduct, your citizenship, what's that next two words? Isn't that something? Be worthy. Be worthy. You learn that word in Ephesians. Remember in Ephesians 4:1 when Paul says, therefore, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, he said, I beseech you, I beg you that you walk worthy of your calling from which you were called. Remember the word worthy in the Greek is a picture of a set of scales. You know, 5 pounds and 5 pounds. Y'all remember that, right? In other words, you are equal in doctrine. You are equal in application, the doctrine of the Bible. If you just hear God's word and you don't do God's word, are you balanced? No, you're not. You don't have a balanced walk, and you don't have a worthy walk. In other words, our conduct, our citizenship, however much the weight of the gospel is, it should equal the weight of our walk. Does that make sense? Man, listen, we are right now citizens of another world. And I say, oh God, you are so wonderful. We're citizens of heaven, therefore let us live like it. In other words, did you know the world can tell if we're a citizen of heaven? It's no different from saying, you know, you could be someplace and you could hear somebody talk. And you know, say you're in New York. And all of a sudden you hear someone from Texas, they talk, and you know, you hear them. And you know immediately, you know where they're from. If you hear from someone, say, from Oklahoma, and they say something, you don't know where they're from at all. You know? No. Listen, in other words, the way that we talk, the way that we act, the way that we think, everything we do, what is Paul saying about our conduct, our citizenship? He's saying that if you belong to Jesus Christ, we should be showing the citizens of this world a transformed life. Amen? A transformed life. Man, listen, I mean a life that has been changed. We're no longer citizens of darkness. Amen? We're citizens of heaven. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, remember, new creation, a person who has never existed ever before, that's what that word new means. Behold, old things, they're gone. They're passing away. We're no longer under the dominance of the wicked one. We no longer walk in darkness. Do you understand? We're sons and daughters of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. Old things have passed away. We're no longer an Adam. And all things become new. What a life that God has given unto us. And I look and I say, oh Lord. You know, the world laughs and mocks at believers who live like they live. Amen? I mean, they mock us. You know, you're out there lying and stealing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying anyone here is doing that, of course. But I am saying they mock it. And they see Christians living, you know, and we're the only gospel the world's going to see. We're the only one, loved one. No, listen, the world mocks the Christian that lives like citizens of their world and not citizens of heaven. No. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:11, he says, Peter says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, and those two words tell us that this place ain't our home, pardon my English, okay? I beg you as sojourners, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having, here it comes, your conduct, your citizenship, your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, meaning unbelievers, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, you're being watched in this world, amen, they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation, the day that you come close to them, the day that they're visited by you, the day that you share the good news to them. In other words, as we advance the gospel into places that we've never gone before, amen. Now listen, the word pilgrim in Greek, para, demos, para, alongside, demos, people. We are pilgrims, and here we are in this generation, at this time in our lives. It's not a mistake. This is reality, God's reality. Here we are pilgrims alongside a people that are lost, citizens of the world, and we are scattered like seed among them. What a glorious concept that is. Why? For the furtherance, for the advance of the gospel. But we're not only pilgrims, seed that's been planted beside the lost. We're also sojourners. The word sojourner means temporary resident. We are the true temporary resident aliens in this world. Think about that. More than that, we're living now in a post-Christian world. We're living in a world that calls evil good and good evil, that loves darkness and doesn't love light. Do you understand? loved one, we are citizens of heaven right this very minute. And I'm telling you, there is a shift occurring, happening. As we need to be praying. You know, we need to discern the time that we're living in. We must understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen? What is coming? We're in the middle of this. Is there something else? So, you know, when I'm troubled in my spirit, I want to find out. And you know how you find out? You go to the throne of grace. You go into prayer. God loves you. Man, you seek and you shall find. Amen? Now, here's the deal. The church today, right this moment, and let's just leave out every other church and let's just us. Calvary Chapel, we must make sure we must stop living below our calling. I'm telling you, this is a today word. This is a prophetic day word. This is the true living word of God. I want you to picture this. When I saw this in my heart, I nearly didn't want to finish the sermon. What I'm about to tell you, I just wanted to just, Lord, this is deeper. This is deeper. Listen to me now. We are a part of heaven in this world. We're citizens of heaven. Do you understand me? We are part of a heaven in this world. Look, we need and we must start looking at ourselves, this church, as a small colony of heaven on earth, because we truly are citizens of heaven, which have been bought with a price. We are citizens of another world, a place called heaven, and we're living on a world that is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. And we are waiting right now. It may be today, it may be tomorrow. We are waiting for our King who has prepared a place for you and for me to take us home, where we will be with him forever and ever and ever. Listen, we are in the midst of a pandemic and we have to relaunch. We have to. That is the word for this year, 2021. We have to relaunch. We have to start clearing a path through this pandemic. Why? There's a lot of people that we out there that God wants to make citizens of heaven who are not citizens of heaven. Does that make sense? And that's what we're called to do. And here's the other problem, loved one. We cannot be idle forever. We can't do it. There has to come a time. Listen, I don't know when the new normal is going to come or when the normal returns. Only God knows that. So what are we to do? I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We must obey the plan of God. Here it is, verse 27. Watch it. Only let your citizenship be worthy, amen, Lord, of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you, now that's plural, it just doesn't mean one person, meaning the whole body of Christ, that you, here it comes, do what? Stand fast in one spirit. Number two, stand fast with one mind. Number three, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If we are to advance, it doesn't matter, listen, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a persecution, whether it's a war, whether it's, you know, we're so privileged to live in this country as believers, amen? It's not that way everywhere. Oh, listen, no, we right this minute, if we're going to advance, God said, there's the plan, it's a perfect plan, and you can do it because by my grace and by my power, you have everything that you need. We must live like citizens, and as we do, we have to do something. We have to stand fast. It means to stand firm. You know what I mean? It means that we're not backing up. It means we're going to hold our position. It means that we're afraid of absolutely nothing. Does that make sense? Yeah, we're saying no. We're standing right where we are. Why? Because the enemy wants to take. Remember, we're pioneer woodcutters carrying that axe, clearing a way for the gospel to continue on. That's every generation of Christians has to do this. And here we are, and the devil says, oh, I got to take that axe out of your hand, man. Or I want to make it dull. Or I don't want you to really use it. No, we have to move forward. And loved one, as we do, we're not standing alone. We're all together in it. Amen? What does it say? What is that? Just a scripture just popped up. Let me look. Chapter 4, here it comes. That's Colossians. That would have messed me up, wouldn't it? There it comes. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, my longed-for brethren, my joy, my crown. Here it comes. So stand fast in whom? In the Lord. That's who we're standing fast in. We're standing with the Lord, which means He is standing with us. And I go, oh God, You are so good to us. And we stand fast in one spirit. Now listen carefully. This is, first of all, we're commanded to guard or to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen? And we are in unity. We're the only people, the only citizens really on this planet that can be in unity because we are in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? So we're to guard the unity of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, if we don't, we're never going to advance. You see, boy, the devil, he doesn't want us to be unified. I'm telling you what, you know, his method is don't fight me, fight each other. That's what he does. His method is don't fight darkness, tear apart the light of the world. Amen? In other words, don't guard, wound your brothers and sisters who Jesus Christ died for. That's what the devil wants. But it says stand fast in one spirit. That's more than just the unity of the Spirit. It means that we can only advance in the supernatural power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how we need that. Listen, no religion on earth empowers their followers except Christianity. Isn't that wonderful? If the church today has anything to be ashamed of, oh, pardon me. You know that sandstorm that blew in yesterday? It's still blowing on me, okay? I thought I was in the desert, man. No, where was I? Oh, if the church today, if we have anything to be ashamed of, loved one, oh, please, Lord, don't let me start sneezing. I'm sorry, guys. Oh. If we have anything to be ashamed of, it's not walking in the power that is available for us. Amen? What Ephesians 3:20, that for God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is working in you. Acts 1:8, loved one, listen, Jesus told us, he says, you tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from upon high. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it says, you shall be my witnesses. Amen? All over the world. That's what it's all about, loved one. And we can only advance also into new territory. No matter what's happening in our world, we have to advance with one mind. One mind. Listen, James 1:8, I believe it is, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen? All of his ways. We can't be double-minded. We all have to have the same mind, loved one. Listen, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have, present tense, right this moment, we have the mind of Christ. Now, does that mean that we know everything that Jesus knows? No, it means that the Holy Spirit of God has opened up our hearts and opened up our minds to the realities of the Word of God. Amen? And we're growing in Christ-likeness, and we're growing in the Word of God. See, to learn the mind of Christ is to start living like Jesus. For me to live is Christ, Paul said, really. Amen? It's living like Jesus, acting like Jesus, reacting like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, loving like Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, if we say that we abide in Him, then we must walk even as He walked. Amen. Boy, listen, we're full of the Holy Spirit of God. We're full of the power of God. We have the mind of Christ. We'll learn the next time we're together in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, to operate that way. And the measure, loved one, listen, the measure that the church operates in the mind of Christ will be the measure of our advance in the world that we live in. Loved one, we are citizens of heaven. And you know what citizens of heaven do? It says that we do something together. It says striving together. Amen? Say that with me. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now listen. That word striving together, we get our English word from the Greek, their Greek word here in the Bible, athlete and athletics, okay? So we're talking here about that if we're going to strive together, we're like Tom Brady. With what's the name of that sissy team he plays for? No, I'm teasing. That's a wonderful game. You know, I mean, I don't know anything about Tom Brady. I'm certainly not comparing the church to Tom Brady. I'm just saying, but we're like that. We're a supernatural football team. We will win the Super Bowl every time. Do you understand? But it takes striving together. It takes team effort. Every one of us, we have to agree with the Word of God. We have to operate in the same mind, the same heart, and only one will, God's will. Amen? If we do that, if we will, like Beck's translation says, fighting side by side like one man, that's what we are. We are in agreement one with another only when we agree with God's word. Amen? It's supernatural, loved one, and it's only one life, and that's the life of Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That has to be our heart set and our mindset, because the object of our striving together is for the good news, for the faith of the gospel, that Jesus was born and Jesus died and Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus ascended up to heaven. He paid our sin debt. Amen? That's the good news, man. The whole divine truth of God, which has been given unto you and to me, the church. There is only one gospel. Every other gospel that contradicts the gospel of Christ Jesus is a human gospel that can save no one. Our gospel came from heaven. Amen? There is only one gospel, one Savior, and there is only one way to be saved and only one name. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is our King, and we are His citizens. Amen? Man, listen. The gospel is all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about, in other words, it's all about Jesus. What did Paul say in Romans 1:16? It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and even to the Gentile." Amen? The gospel is, you want to define it? It's the power of God unto salvation. There it is. So the gospel is all about Jesus, what He's done for us and what God has done for us. The wages of sin is death. Boy, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, what a blessing that is, loved one. So it says, striving together. If we would only truly believe that we are chained to a body. Let me ask you a question. Can you get out of your body? You're chained to it, aren't you? I mean, there's not one person that can get out of their body unless you pass away. That means you're going home. Amen? Yeah. Well, you can't get out of your body. And how can you get out of the body of Christ? Do you understand me? If you are in the body of Christ, you're not going to be removed from the body of Christ if you're in it. Well, so we're chained to one body and to one life, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. And that means that each one of you are like a link in a chain. We're striving together, loved one, but we're all links. We're all connected because we are the body. Does that make sense? Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint, that means two things that have been put together. Every joint supplies according to the effective working, here it comes now, which every part, meaning every member, every part in the body, each one does its share, causes growth of the body by the building up or edifying itself in love. Those are the links to the chain. Let me read them. The whole body, joined, knit together, every joint, every part, the body. Listen, We all have to do our share. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have a supernatural, spiritual gift, and you have to use it. And the only way to use it is to step out. Amen? Now, listen, how would you like to be chained? If we're linked together, you know, we're one body. How would you like to be chained to a Christian who does nothing? Think about it. Come on, man. You're sucking the life out of me. Come on. You know, are you a parasite? I'm joking. Do you understand? There's a link. There's a joint, two joints put together, okay? And this one really works. I mean, can you imagine on your knee, this part works, but this part below it doesn't. You going to hurt? You better believe you're going to hurt. See, we need one another. And if we're not all working as links in a chain in the body, we then have a dysfunctional body. We exist to serve the body of Christ, not the body of Christ to serve us. Does that make sense? Oh, how that is so needed. Can you just imagine? Here Jesus is. He is the head of the church. That means there's only one plan. There's only one supreme leader, and there is only will for the church. And it's not our will. It's God's will. And we have to get in on that plan. What an incredible thought. The church walking in agreement with the head of the church. Do you think that we would be a dynamic team? Yes, and that's what's needed right now in the midst of all of this. In the midst of all of this. We need this more than we ever have. And he says, listen, and not in any way, there in verse 28, and not in any way terrified by your enemies or your adversaries. Let me read several versions of this scripture. It's very important. Let me read the King James, a new King James again. And not in any way, say those two words, any way terrified by your adversaries, amplified version. And do not for a minute or a moment be frightened or intimidated. The message, not flinching nor dodging in the slightest. Philip's translation, I like his. He goes, not caring two straws for your enemies. I really don't know what that really means. Two straws. You know what? Moffat, I like Moffat. Moffat says, never be scared. What? I mean, why? That's incredible. Listen, do you know that when Paul used that word, terrified, it is found no place else in the entire New Testament. It is only here. Let me give you from the Greek what that word means. Are you ready? The word terrified, only found here in the New Testament. This word is used of a startled horse who bolted. In other words, who ran. Often because of something harmless. Do you understand? That is a great word. We don't have to bolt. Whatever is in front of us is not can't harm us. Do you understand? He says, don't you be terrified. Listen, if we're not the church fearless, we're going to be the church fearful. But we're the church of the living God. And a fearful church will never advance. They'll never advance the good news, the gospel, loved one. And listen, we have to always adversaries. We must expect opposition. The devil doesn't want us to do a thing. The citizens of the world, they don't want us to do a thing either. But the furtherance of the gospel, it's not given to us, loved one. We have to work. It has to be taken. That's what we have to do. And he talks about these adversaries. He says, which is to them, meaning our adversaries, our enemies, a proof or an evidence, if you will, of perdition. That's a bad word, isn't it? That's everlasting destruction. That's a horror. That's eternal separation from God. You know that God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Matthew 25:41. Amen. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. No, but he says, oh, your enemies, oh, it's evidence. They're not going to make it. They're against you, man, the citizens of the world. He says, but to you, look at them, but to you of salvation, the evidence of our salvation, John 3:16, will not perish, amen, but have everlasting life. No, he says, to you, the evidence here is that we're going to make it our salvation. But what evidence is Paul really saying it is? Courage. That's what it is. Don't be afraid. The courage to stand against whatever the world throws at us. Amen. And he says, and for you, or because to you, or for to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him. Thank God we're saved by grace. Amen. What a gift. It's a gift from God. Not only to believe in him, but to also, this is your favorite verse, but to also suffer for his sake. Now listen carefully. Not suffer for your sake. Okay? It says suffer for Jesus' sake. But the key to it all are two words, granted and suffer here. The word granted literally means something that was freely bestowed on us as a gracious gift. It's a grace gift, in other words. And the word suffer here is in the Greek is used primarily for being persecuted for Christ Jesus. That's what the scripture is teaching. It's not speaking, this word suffer is not speaking of, well, I'm sick. God forbid, I hope no one is sick. But that's not what the scripture is teaching us, loved one. Or I married the wrong person. That's your fault, you know. No. Oh, listen. This is being persecuted because we are advancing the gospel. And you know, sometimes when we do that, people die. Missionaries die, don't they? Yeah, and so this is the advance of the gospel. Now listen to me, if you're being persecuted, the word granted there, it means if you're being persecuted, it is a sign of God's favor resting on you. Think of that for a minute. In other words, it's an honor to be persecuted for Christ's sake. Amen? Oh, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 3:3 that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Appointed to this, meaning the persecutions in life. Suffering for Christ is a privilege. Not because of sin now, or foolishness, or you abuse your body. No. It's because of Jesus and only Jesus. Listen, becoming a Christian, becoming a citizen of heaven, here we are in this world, it doesn't mean we're going to have a problem-free life. It doesn't mean all of our problems are over and everything's going to be perfect. No, Paul said, listen, he says, the things that happened to me, boy, they've advanced the gospel. He was talking about the persecution. He was talking about the beatings and all the things that he went through by spreading the gospel. You know, Christians, some will suffer. And if we do, you know what? God is going to be right there with us. Christian, did Paul suffer? Remember in Acts 9:16 when the resurrected Lord Jesus was speaking unto Ananias, you know, after Paul the apostle, that he, you know, came to Christ, Jesus saved him. He told Ananias, he said, listen, this man, he is a chosen vessel of mine. I chose him, and I will show him all the things that he must suffer for me, for my name's sake. So this suffering comes from our relationship with Christ, meaning that we're walking like he walks and loving like he loves. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's what this means. And you know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus or for Jesus' sake will suffer persecution. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:10, blessed, or oh, how happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when they revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you for my sake, Jesus said. Now listen, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That means, like, remember Chubby Checker? Do the twist like you did, you know, the like summer, never mind. That's what that means. It means jump up and start dancing, be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven, so for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen, Jesus told us in John 15:18, he told the disciples, he tells us as well, if the world hates you, and the citizens of the world, they do hate us. Do you understand? If the world hates you, no, you know that it hated me, Jesus said, before it hated you. Can you imagine the citizens of Jerusalem hating the spotless, sinless Son of the living God? Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Don't be surprised. Listen, the citizens of the world then and now, they live independent from God. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want God in their planning. They don't want God in their thinking. He's not desired and he's not believed in because this is a fallen antichrist world that we're living in. Amen? But listen, citizens of the world, they hate citizens of heaven. And you don't know why. They don't know why they do, but they just do. And you know why? Listen to what Jesus said, John 15:19. If you were of the world, if you were a citizen of this world, the world would love you. Yet because, here it comes, you are not of this world. And let me tell you why. How did that happen? Listen, you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. That is a glorious, unbelievable word. Loved one, that is not divine privilege. That is divine purpose. God chose you in him. Think about that. To be a citizen, to be a citizen of heaven, loved one. Oh my gosh. Jesus said you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. And you know what? We need to understand that and believe it and make that a living reality in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking. Christ is our life. He says in verse 30, having the same conflict or having the same battle which you saw in me and now here is in me. So Paul said, listen, I'm going through it and you're going through it. We're going through it together. He says, you saw Philippians, you saw what happened to me in Philippi. You know what? You go back and read Acts chapter 16 with Paul and Silas in prison. You see what I mean? When they were beaten there in Philippi and all of that. And he says, and you hear, you know what's going on. I'm locked up in prison, but the gospel is being advanced. Listen, Paul, when he was in prison for the last time, there in 2 Timothy, the last letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, one of the greatest epistles, it breaks my heart to read it. And there's Paul in the Mamertine prison. He writes and he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know, don't be ashamed of me. He says, listen, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. I'm chained to Christ. I'm not chained to Rome. Paul's pinning this in a pit, the Mamertine prison, down deep. And the only way he could do that was when the sun came over at day. Then if it came out, it shined down in the hole. Do you understand me? It was horrible. And he says, listen, I want you to share with me. I want you to join with me in the sufferings for the gospel, for the advance of the gospel. But listen to what he says then. But it, according to the power of God. People say, you know, if I'm a missionary and I'm over and they're going to kill me or I'm going to become a martyr, I don't know if I can do that. If I have the power. Well, it's not your power. It's God's power. It's God's power. It's God's power. Oh, no. God says, I'll be your strength. The power of the living God. That's why Paul, when we get over to chapter 4:13, Paul says, listen, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And according to the power of God, listen to what the power of God did. In 1 Timothy 1:9, it says, who saved us, in other words, a new creation, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. I love this. Which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Listen, God chose us in Jesus before time, before the earth was ever made, when there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Do you know that right now in God's plan, eons and eons back in eternity, he knew exactly what we're going to be doing today. He knew the exact sermon I was going to be preaching. Do you hear me? He knew, Josh, that you were going to be sitting right there with a mask on in a pandemic. He knew what you were going to grow up and be. Amen? Amen. That's right. Listen, we were chosen by God. I'm going, oh Lord, before time began, what is your plan? I tell you that God's plan is better. Amen. God's plan is so much better. Listen, God's plan for you will never be second best. God's plan for you is always first best. And this is God's plan, verse 27 through 30, for this church, for every believer. We right now, in the midst of a pandemic, we are, loved one, pioneer woodcutters. And we're going to advance because we're going to have one mind and one heart and one will and one goal, and that is Christ Jesus. Amen? And we're going to push through all of this. We have to wake up right this minute. We have to be praying. Is there a spiritual shift? Is it a shift of darkness, or is it a shift of light? What actually is coming? I don't know, but I know this. I believe with all my heart that we right now, we are a colony of heaven. Do you understand? We are a part of heaven right this minute because we are citizens of heaven on an earth that is going to pass away. And we're waiting on Jesus, and until he comes for us, we are going to do business until he comes. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a citizen of heaven, there's only two types of citizens in this whole world: citizen of the world, which is apart from Christ, and a citizen of heaven, which means Jesus Christ is your Lord. See, if you don't know Christ, right now, we're not going to bow our heads. If you don't know Christ, you need to just simply lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord. You don't have to get out of your chair. Just lift that hand and we're going to pray for you. Don't miss heaven. Because if you're not going to be a citizen of heaven, you will be a citizen of hell. You can't. There's no other way. Jesus is the only way. And if you're listening live online, you better right this moment ask Jesus Christ, say, be the Lord of my life. Come in and live. Save me right now. And you do that and he will save you. And that is what it's all about. And that's what a citizen of heaven does. He tells others about Jesus so they can become citizens of heaven. Father, we praise you. We praise you for this today word, a living today word. And Lord, may this church embrace it. May all of us embrace it and live it and not be terrified in any way by our adversaries. We ask it, we believe it, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says,